Deer hunting in Iowa is a $214 million industry. This weekend, shotgun season starts. So, how will the discovery of chronic wasting disease in captive Iowa deer impact the industry? This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In the first half hour, we'll hear from wildlife biologist Jim Pease. Then we'll talk with state senator and hunting enthusiast Dick Dearden about what he thinks should be done to protect Iowa deer hunting. Also, Tim Lizotte, the wildlife management supervisor in southeast Wisconsin. Are you a hunter concerned about chronic wasting disease? Join our conversation after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Deer hunting in Iowa is big business, if you didn't know. A $214 million industry, to be precise. And the big question leading into this weekend, which is the beginning of shotgun season, is how the discovery of chronic wasting disease in captive Iowa deer will impact the industry. We want to talk about it this hour. We know there are plenty of deer hunters who listen to Iowa Public Radio. We'd like to have you get in on our conversation. Are you a hunter or otherwise a wildlife enthusiast concerned about chronic wasting disease? Join our conversation. What action do you think should be taken? 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org, our email. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Tweet us at IPR Talk. We have with us the entire hour. I'm so glad Charity Nebbe was good to lend you to us. Jim Pease, wildlife biologist in our Ames studio. Hi.
Glad to be here, Ben.
And we want to start off with you to set the foundation and have us remind us, what is chronic wasting disease?
Well, CWD, as it's commonly referred to, is a disease found in deer, elk, and occasionally in moose. That actually is one of the what we call a spongiform diseases, because of the sort of the structure of the brain that happens, this sort of spongy looking brain in advanced stages of the disease. It's caused by an abnormal protein that is normally present in cells. They're called prions or prions. And the abnormal ones seem to be very, very resistant to the normal enzymatic breakdown of prions in cells. And it was first discovered in a captive herd in 1967, and is really not fully understood. This is one of these weird things in biology that is pretty exciting to study, but very frustrating sometimes, because these prions seem to be the causative agents of the disease known as CWD. Mm-hmm. And it is there are similar diseases that all are spongiform diseases.
The mad cow disease.
Right? Yeah, it's scrapie. In sheep, and in humans, it's called Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. And all of those are this group of spongiform diseases that eventually are fatal. They certainly cause death, and not a very pretty one at that.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, what happens to a deer or elk when infected?
Yeah, well, as the name implies, it's a wasting disease. There's a sort of it appears that the incubation period is probably 12 to 18 months, perhaps more, that it begins to appear in the symptoms can begin to appear within that time period. Although there's some evidence that it seems that it takes a little longer sometimes for symptoms.
That's a long incubation period, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it sure is. And it may be present in very young deer, but we don't normally encounter any of the symptoms until they're 12 to 18 months old. and often, much more often, older, because we're looking at sort of behavioral symptoms. We look at things like, you know, they're standing around with a sort of blank look on their face, often sort of staring off into space, droopy ears, very poor body condition, urinating a lot, drinking a lot. Those are symptoms of a few other diseases, though, too, so they can often be confused. But this wasting away, this sort of emaciation of the body is one of the things that's very, very symptomatic.
Mm-hmm. And I think I read in their behavior as well, they don't necessarily, they're not as scared of people as they might be.
Yeah, and we don't really know if they're not afraid or they just don't recognize them. The brain is incapable of recognizing you know, people in any case.
So spreading this disease, is it contact between deer? How much do we know about that?
Yeah, that's one of the things that's really very difficult. We know, for example, that it does spread by contact, probably through bodily fluids such as saliva, feces, urine, that sort of thing. What we don't know, though, is how long those prions are present in the environment. And this is one of the scary things about chronic wasting disease, is because they're very, very resistant to heat. The normal things that we disinfect disease agents with, things like very high heat or you know, chemicals that disinfect things, prions are extremely resistant to those because they're not, in a sense, alive in the traditional sense. And so killing them, as we think of that, is very, very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. So we think they may be present in soil, for example, and we don't know how long they persist in the soil. That's one of the huge questions, because if you depopulate an area, how long is it before you can allow you know, wild animals to get back in there, wild deer, for example, to come back in there? Would they still contract the disease? That we simply don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to see how it increases in a herd. They're munching along, and whatever they do, they leave saliva on whatever the ends of.
Sure.
And then the next one comes along.
Yeah, usually it's more direct contact. We know, for example, from some Penn studies that they do spread it from one to another through direct contact, sniffing each other, licking each other, that sort of thing. So we know that happens. And certainly deer that are in pens that have been infected tend to be or have been depopulated, but contain deer that were infected before, do seem to be able to catch the disease.
So it's not necessarily two live deer coming into contact.
Not always, but generally it is.
Well, of course, the obvious concern that we have here, as people did with mad cow disease, is what are the implications for people, for hunters, for lovers of venison sausage?
Yeah, it's really it's a bit unknown at this point, quite honestly. Certainly what the CDC says, they've examined all the studies and said, you know, there's no known transfer of the disease across species lines from deer to humans. The studies that have been shown with mad cow disease in humans, the same sort of thing. They say, well, we don't have enough evidence that there's any direct transmission across the species lines. However, we don't recommend that they eat the meat. Mm-hmm. So you know, hunters, in fact, are in all the states, and we now have CWD in at least 16 states. Identified cases in 16 states in the wild and two Canadian provinces as well. So, you know, we're dealing with a very widespread disease. And so the way they handle it, hunters are an important part of that. If you see an animal that looks to be, you know, wasting away, otherwise sick, they do not recommend that you certainly mark the location, but do not attempt to kill it or put it in the bag or, you know, anything like that, but rather contact a local conservation officer to let them know That you saw such a deer in this mm-hmm. in this area.
But what if you're a hunter and you down a deer and on second look you see, there's something different here?
Yeah, I would certainly have them tested, and that testing is available. In fact, I know that the DNR is going to be instituting in the areas around where penned deer have been found to contain CWD in Iowa, they're going to be asking hunters, they have asked hunters in those areas surrounding it to voluntarily submit their deer submit a sample in order for the deer to be tested. And if they follow what has been done in other states, Wisconsin comes to mind, they shouldn't eat the meat until they get confirmation as to whether the deer was infected or not. Mm-hmm. And if it is infected, again, they recommend don't eat the meat.
Wisconsin, having dealt with chronic wasting disease much longer than we have, and we'll have join us a little bit later, someone from the Wildlife Management Service in southeast Wisconsin, where this disease came over the border, apparently, to Iowa. Let's go to our calls. We're looking for hunters, questions, concerns about chronic wasting disease in Iowa's captive deer population. That's where it's limited to at this point, right, Jim?
That's correct. At this point, it's been identified in captive animals only. And when we say captive, we're talking about hunting preserves, which are usually fenced areas in which the herd is directly managed. They may be they have to be at least 320 acres in size. So we're not talking about small pens. We're talking about a much larger area than that.
1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, and you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us now in our Des Moines studio, State Senator Dick Dearden. He's a Democrat from Des Moines. Senator Dearden, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
We know that you are a hunting enthusiast here, very concerned about this issue in particular. What are your concerns about CWD for deer hunting in Iowa at this point?
Well, like you had mentioned earlier, it's a anywhere between $210 and $225 million industry in the state of Iowa. And I look at some other states, Wyoming, for example, in some areas that CWD has cut the herd down by 50%. I'm really concerned that the DNR at this point, I know I was at a meeting with a public meeting with Director Gipp, and someone asked him at the meeting if he had to get an okay for higher up before he released any press releases, and he said yes. And so the only other higher up person would be the governor, and frankly, I'm concerned that there's too much politics involved in this, and the DNR officers that are watching this captive herd in southern Iowa, they were told not to attend the meeting, and this was a public meeting. So those things, I've got some real concerns.
You say fears of the politics entering in here. In what way would the politics not do justice to the way we should deal with this?
Well, if you look at the attorney for the people that have the infected herd, it is Doug Gross. He's a former he worked for the governor that for years.
Right, and he ran for governor a few years ago.
There just seems to be a gag order on the DNR that because I was at one meeting with Director Gipp, and who I have a tremendous respect for, by the way. He just had done a wonderful job with the DNR. But and I had asked he and some of the others if they had any recommendations, for changing laws and. They said no, and it was just like, we can't really tell you what we feel. Mm. And so that's it's a big red flag to me that there's people higher up than, Director Gipp telling us being told, they're told what to do.
Senator Dearden, let's talk specifically, have your thoughts on the penned deer operations. This is where people pay to shoot deer in an enclosure called pay-to-shoot facilities. Iowa's first seven cases, according to my information, of chronic wasting disease, all directly related to confined white-tailed deer. Now, critics of the penned deer operations say that deer are more likely than wild deer, these penned deer, to spread this fatal brain disease. What is your view?
Absolutely. You know, the DNR since 2002 has tested 42,000, over 42,000 wild deer for CWD and not found one case. They have tested approximately 4,000 captive deer, and they've already, there have been 11 positives in that. So if you look at other states, Missouri, for example, it was first found in a captive herd in Pennsylvania the same way. There's a couple states that ban the hunting shooting preserves altogether.
Mm-hmm. Jim Pease, can I get your view on that? Are game farms, these penned places to shoot deer, perhaps spreading the disease, threatening the wild deer population?
Well, I think the evidence, while not direct, is pretty damning. If you look at CWD, it was found in some of the western states, in Wyoming and Colorado and even Nebraska, and then skipped across Iowa into Wisconsin. Deer don't travel that far voluntarily. So, and it appeared around a very, very in the wild. It was found in the wild in an area of southwestern Wisconsin in Iowa County. In Wisconsin, right next to a captive deer hunting facility. So I'd say that because those facilities frequently export genetics, in other words, they export deer to get those big antlers or big body deer, whatever they want, into other herds, and they're transported across state lines, I would say the evidence is pretty damning that in fact that's certainly a source and the major source. Certainly, if you look at it biologically, deer in a pen situation, and again, we're not talking about small pens necessarily, although in some breeding facilities those are small. We're really talking about facilities that are, 320 acres or larger.
Well, let's talk about how likely is it to spread from these captive areas to a wild herd. How would that happen, Jim?
Well, it can happen if it's a single fence. If there's only an 8-foot fence, deer do escape from those, and 8-foot is simply not enough to totally contain all of the deer, so they can escape through there. But if it's a single fence, deer can touch noses, exchange saliva through the fence very, very easily. It's why a lot of places recommend double fencing, where the fences are at least 6 to 7 feet apart, so that a wild deer cannot be in contact with deer on the captive side.
Environmental interpretive and wildlife consultant Jim Pease with us, along with State Senator Dick Dearden. We wanted to go to a call, but it sounded like Senator Dearden, you wanted to comment before we did.
Well, there are some legislation I've been thinking about putting out there this year. One that Pease had just mentioned is a double fence and a 10-foot fence, because especially if the fence is on a slope, a deer can jump over it much easier, mm-hmm. and escape. Mm-hmm. Mandatory reporting of all escaped animals, and tattoos instead of just ear tags in the deer, so we can.
What about more drastic solutions? And this was done in the case of mad cow disease in Britain, for example, culling captive deer herds where positive tests are found.
Well, they're supposed to depopulate all of them by rule.
Okay, so that's already so that would already.
Yeah, and it's not totally happened yet, especially in the breeding facility in Sarasota County.
Right, but if this is in the soil, Jim, then we may have to have a quarantine there for a while.
Well, it's one of the things that we don't understand about the disease, and one of the things that biologically is quite interesting from a disease standpoint is quite difficult to know. We don't know how long the prions can last in the soil and whether they can be transferred then from soil that has these prions in it to back to a live animal. It's stuff that we simply don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention at this point that we did invite someone from the Iowa DNR to be on this program, as well as the owner of a hunting preserve in Davis County to join us. Davis County, one of the, I believe, two counties where these positive tests for CWD have been found. They both declined that. I wanted to just throw that out there. Before we go to Doug in Fairfield. Hi, Doug. Not much time before our break. What's on your mind as we discuss chronic wasting disease in captive Iowa deer?
Hello. Hi. We have a different deal. It's a virus that's in the deer herd that's it's referred to as blue tongue disease, where it's a virus that attacks their internal organs, and they hemorrhage, and then as the deer die, they get dehydrated and go to the creeks and tend to be drinking in the creeks and die.
Right.
Then that's crossing over into the cattle and to the sheep also. That's a phenomenon this summer that's come up.
Okay, this is Jim, and it's caused, it's called EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease, and it's a very cyclical thing. It's caused by midges. This is a small animal that, a small insect that hatches from the water, and in years where we have lots of dryness and very warm temperatures like we had this last summer, those midges move up into Iowa waters as well, and so we've had sort of an outbreak this year. They can cause, the midges can cause the same disease in other species, but it's not spreading from deer to domestic species. It's spreading from the midges to lots of species in that area.
Doug, thank you for that call from Fairfield with your experience. We're looking for hunters in particular this hour, and others concerned about chronic wasting disease. You have concerns. What regulations do you believe that are needed to help keep this disease out of the wild deer population? 1-866-780-9100, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Jim Pease, I know you'll be staying with us through into the second half hour, but State Senator Dick Dearden, we're going to say goodbye to you in just a moment. I wanted to mention that you're also chair of the Natural Resources and Environment Committee. In the Senate, also the vice chair of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Budget Subcommittee. The last word this half hour from you about what you see as the way forward, the solution.
Well, I think one thing we ought to start increasing the fees for the shooting and breeding facilities. In my understanding now that shooting facilities is like $350. So they're not paying for any of the testing at this point. They should cover full costs of all the testing. They should be bonded in case it does get into the wild herd. They have to pay that the bond has to kick in.
Is this specific legislation you'll be proposing this session?
It's legislation I'm looking at this point, correct.
Can you name any legislation you will be proposing at this point?
Most all of this.
Okay, most all of what you've mentioned.
The double fence on the shooting preserves and 10-foot instead of the standard 8, tattoos instead of ear tags, and mandatory reporting of escaped animals. If those animals get out into the wild, and we really, really need to have a tattoo on them. Ear tags can be changed and switched around. So if they're tattooed, we know exactly how long that where that animal came from.
Quickly before we have to go, do you feel there's enough support in the Senate, in the House, to get something like this through?
If hunters start talking to their legislators like they should and show up at some of the meetings, and yes, there will be. The problem with hunters, and I'm one of them, is that we tend to not get very political.
Okay, State Senator Dick Dearden, thank you for joining us from Des Moines. Jim Pease, you'll be staying with us, environmental interpretive and wildlife consultant in our Ames studio. When we come back, we'll talk with someone from Wisconsin's DNR. They've been dealing with it much longer. Chronic wasting disease, what's your opinion? What are you concerned about? And specifically, 1-866-780-9100. Back with more of River to River in just a moment. Back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Glad to have you with us over the noon hour here on Iowa Public Radio News. And this hour, on the eve of this weekend's shotgun season, the commencement of that, we're talking about deer hunting in Iowa. Big business, $214 million industry. And the question this hour, how the discovery of chronic wasting disease and captive Iowa deer is impacting the industry. As we heard in the first half hour, Jim Pease is with us, a wildlife biologist, a neurological disease commonly called CWD, affecting deer, elk, caused by an abnormal protein, a prion that essentially eats holes in the brains of infected animals. The later stages of the disease, the animals appear disoriented, lethargic, emaciated, and it's always fatal in the infected animal. And Jim Pease is with us in this second half hour as well, environmental interpretive and wildlife consultant in our Ames studio. We wanted to have another guest join us, Tim Lizotte, a wildlife management supervisor in southeast Wisconsin, joining us by phone. Tim Lizotte, welcome to River to River on Iowa Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm happy to be here.
Now, we want to hear from you because Wisconsin has been dealing with chronic wasting disease over 10 years of managing it. How widespread is it compared to Iowa, if you happen to know that?
Well, we, as you say, we've been battling CWD since it was first discovered here in 2002 in Wisconsin. In 1999, we started a statewide surveillance program looking for chronic wasting disease, among other diseases in our wildlife population. And in 2002, we found three positive animals during routine hunter testing, and that was about 10 miles west-southwest of our state capital in Madison. And since that time, we've really ramped up efforts not only to try and control the disease, but also track its distribution throughout the state. And to answer your question on whereabouts in Wisconsin it is, we have a disease endemic area that occupies basically the southern one quarter of the state of Wisconsin. And then most recently last year we had a sick deer that tested positive way up in northwest Wisconsin, very far from any other diseased animals. And this hunting season, we're doing very aggressive sampling up there to determine if that's an isolated case or if we actually have another area of disease there.
Mm-hmm. The southern quarter that you spoke of in Wisconsin, butting up against the northeast corner of Iowa and an area in Iowa where a lot of sampling testing is going on. What remedies have you tried, and which have worked, which have not worked? What have you learned in these 10 years of managing CWD?
Well, I guess I wish I could tell you the magic bullet, so to speak, that has worked for us, but we really have not found that in Wisconsin, nor has that really been found anywhere else where CWD occurs. But I'll give you a quick rundown on things we've tried, as well as Illinois, our neighbor, to the south that shares our disease, our southeast disease area. When we first detected chronic wasting disease, our approach in Wisconsin was to take and try and basically kill as many deer as possible that we thought would have the disease and try and eradicate it. And we didn't know if we were dealing with a large outbreak or a small one. So we had special summer hunting seasons. We had DNR sharpshooters, we had very liberal permits to landowners and hunters, and we tried to kill as many deer as we could around the original animals that we found positive. We kept that approach for several years, but unfortunately, every year we kept finding more positive animals, and that has led us to change our strategy over time to one of trying to eradicate the disease, to one of trying to limit its geographic spread and limit the prevalence where we have the disease.
Well, what did that first attempt, quite a massacre of culling of the deer population there in order to stem it or eradicate it, as you said, what did that lack of success tell you about this disease?
Well, the biggest thing it told us about the disease is that in Wisconsin it was much more widespread than we had hoped. When it encompasses a larger geographic area, in the habitat type we have in Wisconsin, it simply was not going to be feasible for us to kill every deer that was CWD positive, because that strategy would be very effective if you could focus harvest on the positive animals. The problem is oftentimes they don't show clinical signs till very late stage in the disease and when they're about to die. So many animals that are harvested and come back positive look quite healthy because they're only mid-stage in the disease. The
right.
other thing is the habitat types we have in Wisconsin. In some areas heavily forested with some pretty decent topography, it's simply just not going to be practical to basically shoot all that deer in the area. And then, of course, when you have hundreds and hundreds of deer infected, simply, you know, finding them all is impractical as well.
Tim Lazon is with us, a wildlife management supervisor in southeast Wisconsin. Jim Pease, wildlife biologist, with us talking about chronic wasting disease, how that's affecting deer and the hunting industry in Iowa. Join our conversation. Perhaps you are a hunter with concerns. What regulations do you believe are needed to help keep this disease out of the wild deer population in Iowa? Thus far, only in the captive deer population discovered this year, I believe seven positive cases. Let's go to Kent Scott in Osceola. This is Scott. He dialed 1-866-780-9100. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Well, one of the things I'd like to point out is the deer farms get a bad rap for spreading CWD, and there are several facts that point that that's not true. One of the things I'd like to point out is the DNR in Iowa tests about 4,200 deer a year out of the whole population that is harvested, which ends up being about 3% of that population of just the harvested deer, not the whole population as a whole. At that rate, even if it was out there, they're not going to find it as quick as we are in our farm deer, where we're required by law to test every deer that dies over a year of age. So in that fact, you're going to find it a lot quicker. The other question and I'd like to pose is to the gentleman in Wisconsin is the endemic area in southern Wisconsin, you know, there's several deer farms in that area, and not a single deer farm has tested a positive deer inside their farms. There's a lot of deer that are brought in from the western states from harvested in the wild, where CWD is a lot more endemic out there, and those carcasses are brought into Iowa every year. There's a lot more ways that this disease can spread than just the farm deer, and the finger pointing a lot of times goes toward us.
Okay, Scott, thank you. In Osceola, Tim Lazon, I'm not sure, as wildlife management supervisor, in your position, if you can comment on the captive deer population in Wisconsin, your experiences there.
Well, in Wisconsin, our captive deer herds are regulated by a different department, our Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Since the discovery of CWD, the regulations have stiffened considerably for our deer farmers, and if they do want to move deer, they are required to test every animal that does die, every adult, as well as once they do that for a period of 5 years, they are considered to be a CWD facility. So I think that those rules have helped tremendously in terms of limiting potentially the spread of CWD by captive farms, which certainly is an option, but never has been shown to be the smoking gun as to how this disease is spread. But we certainly know that transporting animals long distances has the potential to spread disease, including CWD. So we just want to make sure that that potential is limited as much as possible.
Jim Pease, you've been listening to both Scott in Osceola, who has a deer farm, and also Tim Lazata in Wisconsin. What is your reaction to this, and specifically to testing, voluntary testing, as a way to tackle this?
Well, the In Iowa, there's sort of two different agencies similar to Wisconsin that handle it. The DNR is in charge of the deer preserves, as it were, but the IDALS, the Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship, is in charge of the breeding facilities. And while they're not one and the same, there's a lot of interaction between them. And IDALS has had a voluntary a program for quite some time, and I would say that most, although not all, most of the facilities do participate in this voluntary chronic wasting disease surveillance program. So it certainly can be detected more quickly. The problem is partially biological in the sense that we don't yet have a way of testing live animals. They have to be killed. They have to be dead. And so you're only testing animals that die either under so-called natural causes or through human-induced causes, shooting and other ways. So we're only testing dead animals. And unfortunately, it would be really, really nice, and there's a lot of work being done in this, to develop a way of testing live animals so that we know what percentage of the herd actually are carrying the disease around. A lot of states have gone to banning. It doesn't seem to be spread in the meat. It's spread through the spinal cord and brain tissue. So a lot of states have actually banned the importation of hunter-killed deer and elk unless it is totally boned out and processed. They're not allowed to do that. Some states have actually halted intrastate movement of deer and elk, and some states have gone to the point of banning any importation of live deer and elk into their states. So, there are a series of regulations, and nothing seems to be working perfectly.
You can't say, Jim, whether it should be voluntary or mandatory for hunters this season to do the testing?
Well, I think we have a different situation in Iowa than we do in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has always had hunter check stations where every hunter had to check their deer in. That's been happening for many, many years, so it was easy to get that. In Iowa, it has been a voluntary program. I would like to see it from a biological standpoint. I think it makes good sense to have a mandatory check-in of the deer and a physical, and they're able to then take samples at that point.
Is that mandatory in Wisconsin, Tim Lizotte?
Well, what we have in Wisconsin is mandatory deer registration. So
right.
Every hunter that harvests an animal will bring it to a registration station, and the attendants there check it in, note the sex of the animal. And this provides our biologists an ideal opportunity to get out there during opening weekend peak harvest times and collect other samples from deer. Traditionally, we've always done deer aging at that time to learn about the sex and age makeup of our herd, and also to do CWD sampling. Wisconsin deer hunting regulations provide that any hunter must provide a biological sample if asked by a DNR employee, so we have always had that option. During some hunting seasons, we've made testing mandatory. At other times, it's voluntary if asked by the department. Most hunters, I would say probably 75% or more, generally choose, if asked, to have their deer tested at one of our stations. And we also provide what we call hunter service testing. In our state, we've got two core disease outbreaks, one centered just west of Madison, the other down in the southeast corner of the state that we share with Illinois. And in those core areas where prevalence is high, and in the western area, it's now up to 18% in males and 7% in females, when originally we detected it at approximately 6% in males. And so it's definitely grown there in prevalence. And then our southeast core, which is lower prevalence, about 6% in males and 2 to 4% in females. But in those higher prevalence areas, we offer hunter service testing. So if hunters are wanting to have that animal tested before consuming it, they have that option.
We have coming to the end of our hour, Tim Lizotte with us, Jim Pease as well. Larry, a listener in Elkader, writes, "I am an avid deer hunter. My family regularly eats venison. I commend Senator Dearden on earlier in our program for his proposals to restrict deer farms. Opponents to restrictions should realize that lack of controls could allow CWD to become an even more widespread. If that happens, hunters may be reluctant to shoot deer, and the deer populations could grow dramatically. That, in turn, would bring more crop damage, which some farmers have complained about for years. So this raises the question to you, Tim Lizott, how has CWD impacted hunting in Wisconsin?
That's a really good question. We had a pretty significant drop in license sales the first few years when we discovered this disease, and a lot of that was due to fear and uncertainty about what this harvesting and bringing these animals home would do. Wisconsin's got a great tradition of shooting deer, hunting deer, and utilizing that meat to feed our families. So as we learned more about the disease and found out that it really has not to date posed a human health risk, how to process the venison safely, our numbers have slowly rebounded. It's taken time. You asked about other things we've done. We've implemented carcass movement restrictions so that hunters aren't transporting potentially infected carcasses to areas of the state that don't have disease. We have a baiting and feeding ban for deer in any area that has chronic wasting disease. Also, we've put a great deal of effort into outreach and education and basically telling hunters what is CWD, how do you look for it, where should you get your animals tested if you choose to do so. And all these efforts have basically combined, I think, to allow us to rebound from that drop in license sales. And
What was the impact in millions of dollars? Can you put it in those terms?
I couldn't right now without putting a pen to paper, but we sold many thousand fewer licenses after the discovery of CWD. And when you factor a Wisconsin deer hunting license is $24, but that's really just a drop in the bucket when you factor in motel rooms and all the trips to the sporting goods shops and everything else. It could be, you know, a very significant impact to a state, but it seems to me that most states that have CWD, the hunters have grown accustomed to it and really learned it's something that, unfortunately, until better tools are developed, we have to learn to live with.
Let's get a quick call in from Janine in Center Point. You were talking earlier, Tim, about processing venison. I think, Janine, you are dealing with that, aren't you?
Well, my brothers do the hunting, and I do the cutting. And is there any telltale signs in early infection with these deer, or is it not until the later process of the disease itself? I also want to comment that the DNR's hands are tied. It has become a political arena for them, and I don't think there's going to be much help from them until they get their jobs back.
Thank you, Janine. Jim Pease, can you talk about processing that meat if you can find it? I know we don't want to have anything to do with the spinal cord, the brain, eyes, and things like that, but what about the meat?
Basically, what they recommend is that the animal be completely boned out without and certainly using common sense measures, wearing gloves, disinfecting the tools that you're using, et cetera, trying not to come into contact with brain tissue, spinal cord tissue, so you completely bone out the animal. In her question relative to whether she could tell, I don't think there's any visual way other than having a really skinny, emaciated deer but she asked particularly about young deer, just visually inspecting, there's no way of telling.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, a caller was on the line with this question. We don't have time to go to the caller, but is there a cure or a live test on the horizon, Jim Pease?
Is it on the horizon? Yeah, but I think it's a distant horizon, and no, there is no known cure at this point.
Okay, and Tim Lizott, we know that I understand funding for the efforts to curb CWD has been cut in Wisconsin. How has that impacted the program and the disease levels?
Well, I can't say for sure on disease level impacts, but certainly our ability to test and monitor the disease, it's forcing us to get faster, more streamlined, and better, which we have done. And we're going to have to continue to evolve to match our sampling in the best way possible to monitor the disease within budgets. And to that end, we've actually developed a new tool we call optimized deer disease testing, where we are using weighted sampling to focus our efforts on to best achieve our goals.
Okay. Jim Pease, perhaps before we go, we certainly have people's attention raised, answered a lot of questions. There's still a lot of questions out there. Where can people find the best information on this if they're looking on the web, for instance?
Well, there's you can certainly go to – there's a national organization. If they just Google in chronic wasting disease, they'll come up with dozens and dozens of places to find it. You can go to the Iowa DNR webpage. You can go to the Iowa Department of Agriculture's and Land Stewardship webpage. And again, Google in – you know, put in their search engine, put in chronic wasting disease, and there are a lot of – really good resources out there. There are national organizations as well.
And environmental interpretive and wildlife consultant Jim Pease with us in our Ames studio. Jim, thank you for joining us this hour.
My pleasure.
And a big thanks up to Wisconsin. Tim Lizotte with us, wildlife management supervisor in the southeast part of that state. Tim, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I would just direct the listeners to a rather new website that Wisconsin DNR partnered with called KnowCWD.com. That's KnowCWD.com. Lots of updated information on Wisconsin as well as globally on CWD.
Thank you so much for that, Tim Lizotte. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Caitlin Fry, and Ames help from Garrett Van Leeuwen. And in Des Moines, John Pemble helped us out. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Tune in tomorrow, Politics Wednesday. Stephen Schmidt will be here. We'll certainly talk about the future of the Ames straw poll. That's been in the political news. Tune in tomorrow at this time over the noon hour. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.